2 Timothy chapter number 1, and beginning in verse number 8, and I'll read to verse 10. Okay. All right. Good stretch. All right. So, everyone there? Okay. All right. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, beginning in verse 8, the Bible says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." And then goes on to say, verse 9, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus." And then it says, "Before the world began."
Amen.
The eternity past, God knew who would receive Christ as Savior. All right. And then verse 10 says, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death," this is what Jesus did, "and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." All right, let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for your many blessings. And Father, if there's many prayer requests that were said tonight, I pray that you answer each one according to your will and time. Even those unspoken requests, I didn't ask for a show of hands, but Lord, for those who have unspoken requests, those that are on our hearts, I pray that you answer those as well. Father, we know that you know what's best for us, and we just pray again for Sister Debbie and just her recovery. Father, just with the accident she had, even with Brother Larry, just pray you meet their needs. Others in our church family as well who may be sick and afflicted, maybe hurting, I pray that you'll meet their needs. Pray for the Cullies and just pray for their safety as they travel there to Alaska. Father, others who are traveling as well, those from the camp coming back on Friday. And Lord, we just pray that you would fill me with the Spirit of God. I pray you'd hide me behind the cross. And Lord, we pray that you would do a mighty work in us and through us, that Father, we will be a light, a testimony to a lost and dying world that needs Jesus Christ as Savior. So bless the preaching of your word tonight. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, thank you. You may be seated. So sorry, along with the Cullies, Sister Maria's sister. Man, sorry, I went blank on her name. Glory. Auntie Susan is also going too. All right? So she's here, so pray.
First mission trip.
Amen. Okay, all right. So the Lord bless your trip there. All right. Okay, so you know, with the news media has given the world a great way of sharing information and connection, even to on a personal level. But like other things, when it has lost its good aim or purpose, it becomes dangerous.
Yeah.
And so according to an article, and this is what the article said, this is a matter of opinion, but I believe a lot of this is true. The way that news is reported in a lot of ways, I'm not saying 100%, but a lot of it has changed significantly, over the last 10 to 20 years.
Yes.
The global newsmen who send information has made their message in a way that is increasingly negative and fear-motivating. All right, and because of this, negative news can affect our mental health by increased anxiety, depression, and stress.
Yeah.
Even during this COVID time, you've probably heard or know someone who has even committed suicide because of what's going on. So like these global newsmen, we the church, the believers in Jesus Christ, are also called ambassadors for Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, you don't have to turn there. If you want to, you can. But it says here, "Now then we are ambassadors," this is Paul speaking, "for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." So here, Paul is pleading for the believers at Corinth, that they're saying not only him, but also they are, those who are a believer in Christ, are ambassadors. We are those that represent him. And there's another message that I can probably get into about that, but there's going to be like 7 or 8 points, and we don't have time for that. Okay? So going back to this, So we are citizens of heaven, and we speak for God on this earth. We represent yes. Him. And so, but unlike them, referring to this news that is giving negative and bad information, we have a different message that we must proclaim. Yes. It is a message of hope, of heaven, and freedom from sin that people can have, this hope of heaven.
Yes.
It is not yes. negative news. But it is what? It is the good news. The good news of our Savior Jesus Christ for a good purpose. And so the Great Commission we see here in the Word of God has not changed. It says in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 to 20. Again, here Jesus is talking specifically to his disciples and those who are there, saying, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things
yes.
whatsoever I have commanded you." So he's given this command to the church, and lo, he says, "I am with you." This is the promise. "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen."
Amen.
One preacher mentioned this way, "No go, no lo." Meaning Jesus doesn't go with you, but of course he's always with us.
Yes.
It's not that he leaves us, but we leave him. All right, so he's always there with us, but we quench the spirit when we don't do what God has called us to do. And so God has a purpose for the church at the present here, and that's why he hasn't raptured us yet.
Amen.
We're still here, okay? And so here, J. Ronell Blue said it this way: "God's good news will not reach the intended target unless God's global newsmen, or we can say even newswomen, are sent out to publish the message of salvation."
Yes.
So this is our calling, our duty to others. We have this obligation. As Paul said, that he is a debtor to the Jew first and also to the Greek, he says in Romans 1. And we also have that debt, that someone loved us so much that they reached us with the gospel. Of course, God is the one that saved us. And so we are indebted to them to share it whenever God gives us that opportunity.
Amen.
As well.
Amen.
And so we saw last time, and again, this is about a month ago, in verse 8, our attitude as God's children towards the gospel. What is our attitude? So Paul here was urging Timothy not to be ashamed of the gospel of the good news. See, it is an attitude of courage, of boldness, because of your own convictions and what you and I believe. So what is our attitude towards the gospel?
Yes.
So the task can be overwhelming, and again it is. But God has given us the tools we need to reach out to people. And as time goes on, it gets more difficult. But God's grace will be upon us as we go out in obedience to sharing His Word to others. And so He has given us His Word, the truth about who Jesus Christ is and how we can be forgiven. Talks about that in Romans 10, verses 14 to 17. And he has given us his Holy Spirit so we will have God's power working in us as we faithfully present the truth of the Word of God to others. And so for tonight, we'll be looking at here, number 2 is God's aim for us when we received the gospel. Okay, that's in verse 9. Again, God's aim for us when we received the gospel. So it says here in verse 9, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling." Okay, so God's aim or purpose. So referring to this purpose or aim is which a person sets before himself as an object to be reached or accomplished, to intend or to design. So this aim for God was planned again in eternity past, as it says there, before the world began. That's amazing. Imagine, even before we were born, he already had
yes.
a purpose for our lives.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay? Thank you, Lord. So God has you and me in mind and had a purpose for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, sometimes it's mind-boggling just to think about that. But we've got to continue on. So when the world thinks it's out of course, God is in control. He is in charge. And so what's going on is a part of that purpose. Sometimes we don't like what's going on, but God has a purpose behind it. Just like with Joseph, with his brothers, he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." It says in Genesis 50:20. So it says, goes on to say, "Who has saved us," this is God, "and called us with an holy calling." Okay? So when it says God has saved us, this is to save, to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction. So for the child of God, God has saved us. So we usually tell the children saved, but what does that word mean? Okay, because I remember a preacher, and this is back in Guam, and my parents attended the service, and the preacher said, he told my dad, he said, "Are you saved?" And my dad said, "Yeah, I'm saved, and I saved Jeff." "No, no, no." And so my dad knows some of that lingo, and he knows how to play along. Sometimes he jokes about it, and I just, Lord, don't kill him now. But, you know, I don't know if he's upon that point where he's just really rejected the gospel. But some people just know the lingo, and it's sad that they are not a child of God. Again, God knows their hearts. It's between them and the Lord. We are just there to be his spokesman and to share whenever he gives us that opportunity. So for you and I, we have to explain what saved means, our terminologies, when presenting the gospel to people. So he saved us, he rescued us from sin, so that we won't continue to live in a life of sin, but have a desire to do right, and saved us when we got saved, when we received Christ as Savior. He saved us from its eternal punishment and separation from God. Okay? So he saved us through what Christ did on the cross, through what we say is the gospel, the good news of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Okay? A lot of times, and sometimes I'm guilty of that, we stop at Christ's death, and again, we don't serve a dead Savior, but a risen Savior. So we got to remember the resurrection of him. And that's why we meet on Sunday, because that's when he rose again from the dead. Resurrection Sunday. So notice what he did, referring to Christ, not what you and I can do to obtain salvation. We just accept it by faith. Okay, Jesus did that for us. I receive it by faith. I trust it. I turn from my sin, my own ways, and receive and trust Christ as Savior.
Amen.
And so God's aim for his children, the believers, is that he has also called us with an holy calling, it says there. Okay? A holy calling. So called is to invite. He invites us. Okay? And it's with a holy, or when it says holy, means a saint. A saint is one to be set apart, separated from others, to be different. And I'm talking about those who are lost and without Christ. Now, I know Jesus mingled with the publicans and sinners, all right? But he did not mingle in their sin. And that's sometimes hard to differentiate. If we're going to get lured into that, then we need to step back and step away. All right? And so here, all who know Christ as a Savior are called saints because God has called them his people, his spiritual children, again, that we are distinct from non-believers. And so God has cleansed us and forgiven us of all our sins, past, present, and future. And even a preacher even mentioned this. Well, Jeff, when you were born, what sins were you forgiven of? Jesus died when? 2,000 years ago? I wasn't even born. So all my sins are actually all future. Okay, I was like, wow, I didn't think about that. It's a good one. All right, so anyways, of course, if we sin as a child of God, then we break fellowship with God, and he wants us to restore that fellowship by coming back to him.
Yes.
So going back to this, now God's aim for us is to live increasingly in a manner that is really consistent with our calling, to be more like Jesus Christ in his character.
Amen.
And so God not only saved us from the penalty of our sin, but also from the power of it. When we say that we give into sin, it's not, James explains that, it's because we give into our own lust, all right? And so we can't say, well, the devil made me do it, or brother so-and-so made me do it. No, we had the free will to choose to give into it, no matter how tempting or, you know, it was, we gave into it. And so here, the Lord is inviting us and giving us a reason why we are called. His purpose was to save us, but also to be holy. He says, God says, to be holy, for I am holy. All right?
Yeah.
So holiness is really the appropriate, grateful response to the gift of salvation, to the great price God paid through His Son, Jesus, to rescue us from sin. All right? So the question is how do we live holy lives? All right? So in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, it calls us aliens and strangers in this world. Because remember, this is not our home. Our home is in heaven to be with the Lord for the child of God.
Yeah.
And the more and more we want to cling to this world, then the more and more it's like, am I doing the right thing? And we got to check up if we are really a child of God or not.
Yeah.
So in short, you and I, those of us who have trusted Christ as Savior, we are a citizen of heaven. So thank God this world, again, is not our final home, our final resting place. This world is getting worse and worse. Do you want to stay here any longer? I don't. I don't want to be here anymore. So therefore, I must live, although we are still here in this world,
yes,
we must live like in this world as a citizen of heaven.
Amen.
And sometimes that's difficult, even though we are an alien, we are a foreigner in this world. That's why God even goes on to say that all those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So if you and I are suffering persecution for doing what is right, then on their behalf, maybe they're thinking we're doing what's wrong, but on God's behalf, He is well pleased with that.
Amen.
Okay? So as God's children, we must abstain or avoid fleshly lusts which war against the soul. It says in 1 Peter 2:11, again it says, Dearly beloved, I beseech you, I beg you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And then it says, it has some of these fleshly lusts. In verse 1, it says here, wherefore laying in 1 Peter 2:1, wherefore laying aside all malice, or malice is ill will against others with an intention to hurt or to do evil to them. Then it says, in all guile, that's deceitful or being crafty, all right? Then it says, in all hypocrisies, it's like someone who's acting is saying they're this way, but they're really this way, okay? And we see a lot of actors there on TV. Well, I don't know if you watch TV. I don't really too much. But you see a lot of actors, they're this way in TV. Oh, wow, he's handsome or she's gorgeous. But then in real life, oh, what kind of character is that? Okay, so we see that. An outward show of spirituality, but no sincerity. And then it says, and envyings. So envy is feeling ill at the good of others. All right. And all, it says, all evil speakings. So whatever they aim at to put down a person, talking bad about them. And so in the second chapter here of Peter, verses 13 to 17, in verse 13 it says this, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. So here it urges us to live a holy life with respect to those who are ruling as enforcers of what is right. Okay, so we are to promote order, not riot. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, when Pharaoh told the Hebrew midwives to kill the male children, okay, that was killing, and they would not do that. That's a separate issue, okay? When they're telling us to violate the Scripture, then we need to obey God rather than men. But if it's something like, okay, go wash my car, maybe we can go that extra mile and wash their car, wash their two or five cars, whatever, okay? But here, that's what we're supposed to do. And so just ask the Lord for discernment what to do in those situations. So also as well in the same chapter, it urges us to live holy with respect to our work. It says in verse 18, it says, servants, be subject to your own masters with all fear. And then it says, not only to the good and gentle, we like those who are good and gentle, those bosses, but it says also to the froward, or the froward means stubbornly willful, not easily controlled, they're twisted, they're perverted, like those who are in government right now. Okay, we are to pray for them. Okay? But we are to try to, as I think Pastor even mentioned, the Bible says to live peaceably with all men if we can do so. So here we must respect our employers and suffer mistreatment rather than lashing out in an un-Christ-like manner. And so like yesterday, actually I was scheduled to drive home from work. And then one guy said, so-and-so is going to drive. And the guy said, I'll drive. And I'm thinking, man, it's my turn to drive. Why are you But I was just thinking that. It didn't come out. I don't know how my, my facial expression was. Trying to keep it in. I said, okay, go ahead and drive. So that was something I was like, man, he took my driving. But, well, hey, just step aside and just allow him. He wants to drive. He's probably a better driver than me. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
And so forth. That's just a small example. And so here, also as well, in our domestic lives as well. So wives are characterized with purity, with reverence, with gentleness, and quietness. So it says in chapter 3 of 1 Peter and verse 4, it says, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of who? Of God, of great price." Okay? And that's something that even can apply to if you're trying to win someone to Christ, of being that kind of, having that kind of attitude as well. All right? And then it says, as husbands, if you are truly becoming holy, can't just pick on the wives, okay? Husbands, we must be considerate of our wives' needs and respect her worth and recognize that a relationship with them is an essential part of our relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
So it says in chapter 3, 1 Peter, in verse 7, then it says, talks about examples of Sarah. She obeyed Abraham. Then in verse 7 it says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge to, with the wives, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel." It's not saying that she's weaker, because really, typically, a woman is a little bit more, how would you say it? A little less stronger than a man, okay? But they're still equal in the sight of God.
Yes.
And it says, as being heirs together, the grace of life. And then it says, that your prayers be not hindered.
Say it, preacher. Say
it. That's one thing that all of us as husbands, we need to work on. Because if we don't give honor to our wife, then it says our prayers will be hindered. It won't be answered.
Amen.
Okay? All right? So I know you've probably heard of this illustration, and this is going back. But anyways, a preacher was talking, and he says, "Wives, you know, just submit to your husbands. So when you get on your knees," right? You're both like this. You get on your knees. So the guy is wrong, so instead of the Lord whacking you, he'll whack him. Okay? But if you stand up, then he'll whack you before he whacks him. All right? Okay? So one preacher mentioned it that way. So, okay. So going back to this, also as well, our testimony to the world as well. So we saw with the with masters, with those of us who work, to be submitting onto our, for wives to submit to their husbands, husbands to love their wives, and here our testimony to the world. So our behavior must attract people to Christ, not even to us. And so not even to attract them to us, and sometimes, again, it's very tempting to do that. But we need to be willing to suffer for doing good and right, and to keep a clear conscience. Okay, so it says here, I don't have time to read this, but we'll just go down to verse number, 1 Peter 3, okay, verse 13, all right. It says here, "And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Then it says, "Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they, those who speak evil against you, may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation or your manner of living or how your testimony is in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil doing. And you know, in my job place, it's very difficult sometimes because every other word seems like it's a curse word. Mm-hmm. Okay? But I notice as I continue to talk to some of these guys and I don't speak any of those things, they're saying less and less curse words. Yes. Which, praise the Lord for that. And one guy even said, "Hey, it's Mr. Happy Man." Happy Man. Well, I mean, yeah, praise the Lord, I'm happy. Yeah. Okay? So I'm praying for an opportunity for his name is Osman. I don't know why he told me, he said, "Hey, my name is Osama." And I'm, "Osama bin Laden?" So, but anyways, I got, "Hey, Mr. Happy Man." So, got to keep being happy for the Lord and joyful. Amen. And hopefully through that, that can lead him to a saving knowledge of Christ.
Yes.
He's gone through a lot, I believe. And so first, the Lord, he saved us according to his own purpose and grace. Our salvation in Christ is all by his grace. None of our efforts and none of our good works. Good works comes after salvation. Okay, Ephesians 2, 8, and then if you read all the way to 10. All right? We won't have time to go there. So second, he called us according to his own purpose and grace. And it's only by his grace, is this undeserved and unworked for, that he is conforming us to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. As we yield, as we surrender ourselves to him and his purpose. Not our purpose, not our plan, not our will, but his. And so it's all by his grace so that all he gets all the glory that he deserves. And so it is a gospel of grace. It is not something which we achieve, but something which we accept. God did not call us because we are holy. Quote unquote, Barclay said this. He called us to make us holy.
Yes.
All right? Amen. That's what he's trying to conform us to the image of his Son, because Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, was all holy, and so he's trying to conform us to Christ and his holiness and all the other attributes that Christ displayed as well. And so finally we see, number three, the message we announce in the gospel. It says in 2 Timothy, chapter number 1 and verse 10, it says here, all right, it says, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Okay? And so I know that most of us know the gospel, but it's in intentionally bathing our minds and refreshing our minds with what Jesus did on the cross, what causes us to experience again, someone said it this way, its power to enable us to live it out and to teach it to others.
Amen.
Just
Amen.
Like anybody else, like ride a bike and stuff like that, you got to constantly do those things or learn another language. And just with the gospel, we got to keep rehearsing it as well. And the more and more we tell it, the more better we should get at it.
Amen.
As long as we're practicing it and telling it the proper way. All right? And so here the word appearing, here really in other verses, it's referring to Jesus' second coming. But here specifically, it refers to Jesus appearing in the resurrection. So Jesus had put an end to death and brought life everlasting through the gospel, the good news. So again, this is the good news that Christ not only died, but I mentioned this earlier, was buried and came back to life. And so in that resurrection was the appearing of Christ as the one who had abolished or done away with death, so that whosoever will believe in Jesus will also live with him.
Amen.
And so, you know, in this body, in this flesh, I know some of us may have that. We don't like to go through the process of dying, but we know if we die, when we die, we will be with the Lord.
Thank you,
okay? And so we are already victors in Christ. What a powerful message. So with me, praise the Lord, back in 2001, June 25, that's when I heeded the message of his call and I trusted Christ as Savior. I knew all the things that I was learning. in this particular religion was false. And at the same time, I was mad, but I was sad. Because they're teaching kids, teaching adults, all these things that are false. Getting some truth, but a lot of lie. And so we have the truth, and we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing with it? So the best is yet to come for you and I. Now I'm looking forward to His appearing, His second coming. Are you?
Yes.
To Christ coming. Let's boldly announce His message. Let's proclaim Christ to people really in these difficult, in these dangerous times. So praise the Lord for these opportunities we had. Just we had this VBS. We have the church visitation where we go out on Saturdays, even though it's 105 degrees outside. Remember somewhere that's hotter than that.
Yeah.
Now we got to rescue people. Well, through the Lord's Jesus Christ, of course. And there's other things as well. The turkey baskets we did before through the church school, through the youth program, and then even just giving tracts to a cashier or a store, maybe a coworker on your break. And even right now at the camp, we should be praying for Pastor, I believe Pastor Jim will be preaching tonight, maybe even right now.
Yes.
And so that those who, maybe some friends have come and they'll hear the message of perhaps the gospel, and someone will share with them the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And so here, right now, we see some of the people right there going out, again, teaching children and the youth and adults. So with us, you and I, we can be witnesses to our own families, our circle of friends, in our own outreaches, our neighborhood, and also praying for the Cullies as they go to the mission trip. They're in Alaska, and I think hand out John and Romans, okay? John and Romans, okay? And you never know, because I've heard of things, again, I don't know if this was made up, but a preacher said this, there was someone that they're about to commit suicide, and then this train came by, and then something flew, and it went right in their hands, and it was a gospel tract. And they read the tract, and they got saved before they killed themselves. So you never know. Maybe some track that's thrown down, someone else will come along and pick it up.
Yes.
They have no hope, and they look down, and there's the hope is in Jesus Christ, in the gospel. So here we see that, again, that you and I may not be full-time missionaries or even evangelists, but we are to be witnesses, ambassadors for Christ,
Amen.
According to our place and where God has called us to be in our abilities. And so this is our calling. So in conclusion, we are God's global newsmen, newswomen. We have a God-given mission, a purpose. We are called to boldly proclaim the gospel to every creature in every part of the world. And so we have to be faithful to our calling, and we ultimately leave the results to God. And so again, if we don't tell anyone, we won't be instrumental in being used by God to rescue anyone. Really, it's the Lord who rescues them. We're just the messenger to rescue them from hell and from sin. Remember, Jesus, even though He knew that people would reject Him, He still, no matter what, He still went out.
Amen.
He even still reached out, even to Judas. When Judas betrayed Him, his first word was, friend. That's
friend.
Interesting. Friend?
Yes.
He's not a friend. He's an enemy. But Jesus said, friend. And so He was still reaching out. Judas still had a last chance right there. And so, you know, God has not given up on us, so we should not give up on others. If we cannot reach them, of course, we can also just pray for them if they want nothing to do with us. And so let's go ahead and let's pray, and then we'll conclude. All right, let's pray. Father, again, we thank You for this time.